Hello and welcome to the podcast industry. If you're in the Northeast, I hope you're staying warm during these winter months. And if you're listening to this show, that means that you are interested in the podcast industry and maybe even have a podcast of your own. And that's why I want to tell you about Podyo. Podyo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast. Providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podyo. Apply today, become a member, and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podyo.co at podgo.co. Let's start the show. Hello and welcome to the podcast industry. I'm your host, David. Once again, thank you so much for joining me today. Today we have another guest on the show. We have James Cridlin from Pod News. He's the editor of Pod News. And if you don't know what that is, Pod News is a daily podcast newsletter going deep into the topics that are affecting the podcast industry. If you are somebody that are listening to this show, that means that you are interested in podcasting in some capacity. So I highly suggest that you subscribe to Pod News, and you can do that by going to podnews.net. In addition to Pod News, James also hosts his own show called Podland that goes even deeper into some of the topics that he covers in his newsletter. It was awesome to have James on to talk about everything going on in the podcast industry right now, a very exciting time. So without further ado, here is my interview with James Cridlin. Once again, thanks so much for taking the time today. James Cridlin from Pod News. You know, first thing, a lot has happened in the industry, but I want to ask, you started in 2005 in podcasting. What has been the biggest change that you've seen in the last few years that has happened in podcasting?
Oh, I think it's really ramped up. So there's been a big change from it being a very grassroots thing back in 2005, 2006, into something which lots of large companies have got involved with. And what comes along with that, of course, is not just the the amount of people who have been making new shows and all of that, but also the amount of new tools around monetization, around dynamic ad insertion, all of that kind of stuff as well. So there's been a real change, I think, over the last couple of years as the industry has essentially grown up.
Yeah, talk about Meta. You're talking about the founder of a podcast monetization service, having a podcast, interviewing somebody that has a podcast newsletter, but also hosts a podcast based on that podcast newsletter.
It's only slightly meta, isn't it? Yes, exactly.
but with this trend of large companies coming into the space, there's been a lot of mergers and acquisitions. Do you think that's going to continue into 2021? And, what impact is that going to have on podcasters?
I mean, I'm sure that we'll see more mergers and acquisitions because that's the way of the world. And my suspicion is that Amazon is readying to buy someone in the ad tech space and in the hosting space so that it can better compete with people like Spotify. But also, I mean, to an extent, quite a lot of the M&A activity has actually finished. So there are very few large companies which are still available, which haven't already been snapped up by, a large player. Yeah. iHeart did a lot of purchasing last year. SiriusXM did a lot last year. And of course, Spotify and Amazon as well. So my suspicion is that the large companies now are, looking very much at, they basically already have their new owners. But who knows what the future might hold, and maybe there'll be a number of new interesting companies, on the way.
Yeah, I feel like, there's so many media outlets reporting on podcast growth in the U.S., but not only as a podcast expert, but also someone in the global market, you get this interesting perspective to see the growth globally as well. I mean, it's not just the U.S., but so many advertisers are concentrating on the ad dollars in the U.S., but globally, podcasts have been growing exponentially as well.
Yeah, I think so. And certainly, you know, when you have a look at places like India, Southeast Asia, you know, podcasting is growing particularly fast there. Where the differences are, I guess, is the types of podcasts. So actually, reheated radio shows seem to do really well in places like Korea and Singapore and places like that. So that's interesting to see. But also, you know, obviously, it's a different world from a monetization standpoint. And, you know, a $25 cost per thousand in the US is not going to be a $25 cost per thousand in places like India. So, you know, so I think that there's real differences in certain countries and in certain territories. What I'm also seeing is that those countries that understand English, and of course, India is one of those, but there are many others, are seeing significant growth because of the amount of content which is out there. Whereas when you start looking at countries which have understanding of English, less English speakers, so places like France, Spain, then you're actually seeing, and Germany, for example, then you're actually seeing less growth in that space. But my suspicion is that that growth is just a delayed growth and that we will continue to actually see, you know, growth in those areas as well. It's just that the amount of content which is out there is rather less. But yeah, it's fascinating seeing that. And by the way, you know, in terms of M&A, you know, activity, there's a bunch going on in places like China, for example, in places like India, who've both had some, you know, really large consolidation, you know, work, you know, recently. So, you know, my suspicion is that, you know, the M&A activity may be slowing down in the US, but certainly not in other parts of the world.
Yeah, you know, the barrier to entry being so low is kind of a double-edged sword, because on one hand, it's awesome you get all these podcasts with different languages, from different topics, from different regions, and it's great that it's so easy to create a podcast that anyone can do it almost. But on the other hand, I feel like there's a disillusion about how hard it is to make a quality podcast. Just because it's easy and it's on the Apple Store and it's on Google Podcasts and Spotify doesn't mean that the audience is going to be there. And I feel like so many people just think, oh, I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to get all my listens and make money and quit my job. But that's not the fact. But what do you feel like that has contributed to that, like, disillusionment of how easy podcasting is?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, people are finding out, you know, and I've worked in radio for the last 30 years. I think people are finding out that producing great audio content is actually a bit harder than it seems.
Yeah.
And we could have told them that, you know, so I think you've got that sort of side of it. But I think also quite a lot of it has been, you know, large companies essentially selling the dream that, you know, you just make a podcast and by episode three, you've got sponsors clamoring at your door. That's not really how any media works, and certainly not how podcasting works. So I think, you know, there's been a little bit of sort of, you know, false selling in that regard. And also, you know, I mean, services like Anchor have made it super easy to make a podcast, super easy to, you know, get a podcast up, get a podcast into Apple and Spotify and other places. But what they've not necessarily helped with as much is the whole content side of it, of knowing what makes a great podcast, knowing how to use your microphone, knowing how to structure a show from beginning, middle and end, you know, or how to be a great interviewer. All of those are skills that take a long time to learn. And a podcast host, by and large, doesn't do a fantastic job of doing that. There are a few, you know, examples, and actually Spotify has spent a lot of money in education to actually help new podcasters understand what's going on. Buzzsprout has done a little bit of this as well. Yeah. So, you know, so there are some companies doing that, but, you know, to be honest, it's still a very, you know, it's still an area where, you know, that education is really needed, I think.
And I think it's not only in indie podcast networks and, you know, people at home, but also celebrities. We saw a lot of celebrities start podcasts in 2020. Pod News covered a lot of them. And
yes.
Do you think that that's going to fizzle out once the celebrities that have started it have seen that the audience isn't there, that they kind of think it's going to be there quicker than they expect, and they kind of fizzle out and stop recording it because it's not worth their time or something, because you do have to put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think quite a lot of what Spotify has been doing particularly has been hiring a celebrity and not necessarily, not necessarily working with them to help them understand how to make a great show. And I think, you know, so from that point of view, you know, that's certainly been, you know, interesting to watch. If I see the word, you know, a good drinking game, for example, is if you open a press release from a celebrity and you'll either see the words no holds barred or uncensored or unfiltered. And if that was a drinking game and you had a shot for each of those, you'd be paralytic in the day. So I think, you know, we need to be looking at a little bit more than just, you know, a celebrity talking to people or talking to their mum, as is quite a lot of these new celebrity podcasts. I think that people will tire of those relatively quickly. There'll always be a little bit of a, you know, of an interest for that sort of thing. But I think more produced, more focused shows are going to be where we'll see the real growth as we go forward.
Yeah, and I think another area of growth that can contribute to podcasting is these other platforms. I'm seeing a lot of podcasters use, you know, Instagram and Facebook, obviously being the traditional social media, now TikTok, even Clubhouse being a big place to promote. You know, how do you see the external factors in the industry, being other social media, kind of contribute to the rise of different podcast sector growth?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as with anything, making sure that you have a good social media plan, making sure that you have a plan for how to promote your show, you know, is a really important part of it. And given that there are, you know, 1.9 million podcasts out there now, that's a large amount. So you need to cut through. And I think what I'm interested in seeing running Pod News every day is seeing some of the pitches that I get for podcasts being, you know, we've made a new podcast, great, you know, and it's kind of okay, what's the news, what's the hook, why should somebody go and have a listen to that particular show? And so I think, you know, there are a bunch of, you know, tricks that you can use, particularly using local media who are very interested in writing about, you know, local things which are going on. And you know, local man makes podcast in his bedroom is always a good plan.
Yeah.
You know, so you can do all of that kind of stuff. And of course, you know, social media to reach people in the community that your podcast is serving. So if you do a particular podcast about, you know, underwater knitting, then go to the underwater knitting subreddit and the Facebook groups and everything else. And don't spam your podcast in there, but actually just be a good member of that community. And the benefits come out of that. You know, I think Clubhouse particularly is interesting. It's very nascent, it's very new, and it's only available on iOS, which means that 80% of the world won't be on it, because 80% of the world uses Android. But you can certainly see there being benefit for, you know, an audio social network such as Clubhouse being used to talk about podcasting and talk about podcasts that you might want to go and have a listen to.
Yeah, but I guess a certain kind of person likes to podcast as well. It's kind of as a weird intersection of a small subsection of podcasting.
Yeah, I think there is, but I think there's a certain person that likes podcasting and a certain person that, you know, in my old world of radio, there are people who are quite happy to sit in a quiet room with a microphone and talk to 200,000 people. But if you put them in front of a crowd of 20 people, then they freeze up because, you know, they're super shy and super, you know, super introverted. My suspicion is that actually Clubhouse is that kind of middle ground where you can't see their faces, but you kind of can. And you know what I mean? It's an interesting whole world there.
Yeah, the cool thing about podcasting is it's so intimate, right? There's no other medium like it where you're talking to so many people, but at the same time, you're really having a one-on-one conversation because you're in someone's earbuds or speakers. It's like you're part of their daily routine. I guess a lot of people will think that about Podland.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think when you look at individual, you know, individual shows, individual, you know, I mean, there are some great radio consultants out there who will tell you, and you can really spot those people who've listened to those good radio consultants and good podcasting consultants, because if you're there on a show and somebody says, well, hello, everybody, that's a really bad sign, because that person is thinking about lots of people having a listen. But people don't listen with other people. 90% of people listen to a podcast alone. So don't say hello, everybody. Say hello, you, because it's only one person who's listening, you know. And so, you know, there's a good thing in radio, which can sometimes go a little bit ridiculous, where some radio stations have a cardboard cutout of their listener. So if it's a radio station which is aiming at, I don't know, 35-year-old female, you know, housewives, then they will have a cardboard cutout picture of their 35-year-old female who they are broadcasting to. And that is in your eyeline as a radio presenter. And I tell you what, that really changes what you do and what you say on the air, because all of a sudden you go, okay, she wouldn't like it if I said this, or she would like it if I talked about this, but not about this. So it's a really interesting trick to just have a photograph of your listener, you know, or a photograph of your mum. That'll also work, you know, in front of you as you podcast, because it really concentrates the mind and reminds you that 90% of people who are listening to a podcast are doing so alone, and they've probably got their headphones in, because that's where most podcast listening happens. So they've actually got your voice in their skull, literally in their skull.
Yeah.
So it's a very different world than radio, which is a background medium, or TV, which is even more background in many cases. So it's a, you know, it is, as you say, an incredibly intimate and incredibly powerful thing.
You know, for someone that covers podcasting, I always like to ask my guests, what are you listening to? What podcast do you listen to right now?
and because I end up listening to so many, I literally have to go to my phone and tell you what I'm currently listening to. Firstly, I should tell you what I'm currently listening on, which is on Google Podcasts, which I've gone back to recently, because now it allows you to add any RSS feed, so that's a good thing. I'm listening to, my top three are the Sounds Profitable podcast, which is brand new and very good, talks about ad tech, but it's got some really clever DAI, some really clever dynamic ad insertion in there, which is well worth a listen to. I'm listening to Pivot, which I've only recently found, and I'm trying to work out if I like it or not. And I'm listening to a podcast called CoronaCast, which is about everybody's favorite pandemic. It's from here in Australia, and so it's got a very different view. But what I like about it particularly is that it's not a sensational thing. It's two people talking in sensible voices, with sensible information about what's going on, rather than trying to make it sound as if the world is ending. And the world may well be ending, but at least this podcast is a nice, relaxing and informative view on what's actually going on, and I would heartily recommend that too.
Yeah, so James, for everyone listening, where can they find you?
Well, you can get Pod News every day, which is at podnews.net as a newsletter. You can also ask your smart speaker to play the latest news from Pod News Podcasting News, which is a very good way of waking up every single morning. And also I do a longer podcast called Podland, which you'll find at podland.news.
Once again, thank you so much to James for taking the time to speak to us. You know, it was great to hear about what's happening in the podcast industry. And, you know, I'm going to take a page out of his playbook and talk to you, the listener, just to say thank you for taking the time to listen to the podcast again. I think that being able to bring in these guests and share all these valuable insights has been an amazing opportunity for me. And I hope that you are also getting some value from it And if you are enjoying it, please subscribe and rate the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social. And if you have a podcast, be sure to apply to Podyo to be connected immediately with advertisers that fit your audience. That's all we have for you this week. Thank you so much again for listening to us, and I hope to see you next episode.